So much is changing so fast in the medical realm in America, it's a little hard to keep up. Keep in mind, though, that a few things have to stay the same. Bones still get set the same way. Cuts and scrapes get fixed the same way. So do many other medical maladies. What's changing is how we get to those remedies and, in some cases, who pays and how. One of the many changes coming to medicine is the concept of the patient-centered medical home. Home conjures up a few images that may not be true, because the term does not mean that medical services come to your house, but they are closer, in a sense, than the medical home model. Two guests join us today from Asante Physician Partners to talk about this. Dr. Shay Johnson is a DO in practice in Grants Pass. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Johnson.
Thank you.
And we also have David Gilmore with us, who is the practice manager for medical homes for Asante Physician Partners. David Gilmore, welcome to you.
Thank you.
So let's get to the easy stuff first. What is a medical home? It is not your own home. Shay Johnson, you want to take that one?
Oh, certainly. One thing that we see as a patient-centered medical home is exactly that. We try to take the patient and their family and put them into the center of a group of individuals or practices or even healthcare services, and we try to wrap those services around them. It usually means we're a little more proactive than we have been in the past to make sure that they have access to those services. And then hopefully transition them better from service to service.
So, David Gilmore, how would that work? I mean, if somebody says, okay, I want you to be my medical home, and do they exist in the Rogue Valley yet?
Yes, we currently have two. We have one in Grants Pass. It's the Asante Physician Partners Grants Pass Family Medicine Clinic, and one in Medford, the Asante Physician Partners, or APP, we'll use the acronym,
okay.
Murphy Road Family Practice Clinic. It's just to the east of Rogue Regional Medical Center. So we have two currently that we're in the process of certifying through the Oregon Health Authority.
And what is the genesis of the patient-centered medical home? Where did the idea first come from?
Well, there was in 2007, that was kind of where the initial push was started with several groups that came together, the American College of Physicians, the American Academy of Family Physicians, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the American Osteopathic Association joined up in kind of a joint commission, if you will, that basically decided that healthcare wasn't quite what we wanted. Our outcomes weren't as good as we had hoped. We're spending a lot more money than we should, and tried to set up basic tenets that would hopefully generate a better method of healthcare delivery. And since then, it's been kind of a conglomeration of multiple organizations trying to really tease out what does this look like in the end. And that's been, I think, the challenge. There are other patient-centered medical homes in this service area. Many started even a couple of years ago. But it's even that process has developed a little bit, too. One thing that we have with APP is our association with Asante, the hospitals. We are able to have the records real time from their hospital visits. And that's one of the great benefits of the patient-centered medical home, having that access and that sharing of records so that everybody involved in your care knows what's going on. And again, you are at the center of this care.
So this is not something that came about just with healthcare reform at the federal or state levels. It really was something that the medical professionals themselves thought it was time to take on.
Indeed. And as we know with healthcare reform, there's kind of a constant reform that goes on through our lives. And this is one, I think, that has been needed for some time. And thankfully, back in 2007, even before the Affordable Care Act came into existence, they've been talking about it. But I think where the rubber hits the road and them actively pursuing and becoming certified and practicing that has been very recent, more in the last couple of years.
So when you talk about the issues with delivery and cost, was it just that patients were spending too much time trying to find the right person to go to and then were waiting a long time for appointments and things like that?
I think most of it has to do with the access points like an ER. I think that's probably where a lot of the healthcare costs goes, where someone who may not need to be seen in the ER goes to the ER instead of to their patient or their primary care physician. And so what we try to do in a patient-centered medical home is when people transition out of an ER, I have a nurse who would then call the patient and say, hey, how are you doing? How was your ER visit? Can we get you into your doctor? And we're trying to more proactively keep patients who don't need to go to the ER and keep them coming to their primary care physician who I think can best deliver that care to them.
So it's really about the continuity of care, making sure that somebody in the medical home, in the patient-centered medical home, keeps track of the patient.
Yes, absolutely. Continuity of care is really a cornerstone to patient-centered medical home in that we start with assigning a primary care provider for each of our patients, and that can be a physician or a physician extender in the form of a PA or a nurse practitioner, and we form what we call panel lists. So each provider knows their patients know them, and then we begin to chart a course of proactive delivery of health care, preventing when we can, treating when we must, kind of a mantra of building physician, provider, and patient relationships that are really focused on more proactive rather than reactive and waiting until something occurs, a medical issue that requires them to call in. So in doing that, we do have an outreach program we're beginning where we'll start to pull those patients into the clinic when they need to.
Okay, more about patient-centered medical homes with David Gilmore and Dr. Shay Johnson when we return to the Jefferson Exchange with you in 1 minute. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our topic today is medicine and the delivery of it, specifically the patient-centered medical home, which you can call PCMH. We'll just keep calling it medical home. It seems like a good way to shorten things up. The idea being that you can get your services through one general avenue, one outlet. And we're talking to a place that is already in the process of getting these places certified. Asante Physician Partners, Dr. Shay Johnson, is a DO, a doctor of osteopathy in practice in Grants Pass. David Gilmore is the practice manager for the medical homes for Asante Physician Partners, or APP. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. You may have many questions and comments about the delivery of health care and how it can be improved, perhaps, through the patient-centered medical home. Join us at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, David Gilmore, I want to come back to you then, because you give us a pretty good idea of what sorts of services and how things are arranged on the practice side, from the patient side. How do they get into a medical home situation in the first place? Is it required by some insurance, not offered by others? I mean, what are some of the things people need to know just to go into their doctor's office and say, hey, can I do that medical home thing with you?
Well, certainly it starts with registering with a primary care provider. That as a new patient. And you can do that by calling our clinics, calling any really medical home clinic and requesting to join the practice. And then that begins the registration process of becoming a new patient and the first visit with your primary care provider, where they get a chance to get to know you a little bit, go over your medical history, your medications, your different issues that you may have, and establishing with them. And at that time, then they become part of the panel of the PCP. So at that point, it's really about, certainly you have a PCP, but there's a care team that now the care team understands who the patients are. And we begin to proactively work with those patients in managing their health care needs, whatever they may be. So if it's diabetes, that we're proactively reaching out to them and bringing them in at certain intervals based on that provider's decision making and when they need to come in. So it's more of a proactive than reactive, waiting for someone to have an issue and then call the clinic.
But not every practice is going to become a medical home, I sense.
I would tell you with APP, we currently have two that are certifying, and we'll have another five in the Talent, Ashland, and Medford areas over the course of the next 1 to 2 years. So certainly our goal with APP is to have all of our family medicine and internal medicine clinics certified by the Oregon Health Authority as a medical home.
But if somebody likes the doctor they have, not a member of Asante Physician Partners, they're not necessarily going to see a medical home unless that practice makes a move to take on that concept.
Correct.
And what does the implementation take on then? I mean, what do you have to do to be able to set up as a medical home? Are there additional staff hired, additional procedures that go through? What happens?
Well, certainly as you pursue certification, and we've gone through the Oregon Health Authority, there are criteria for certification around the six attributes of access to care first. Our patients that have access to care when they need it. Secondly, accountability is when accountability for those patients and an improvement strategy on our care that we deliver and access as well. Comprehensive whole person care, is another attribute. Then we get into the continuity of care. Each patient has a PCP. They see their PCP or their healthcare team, and the PCP sees their patients. And finally, the notion of prevention comes into play with a comprehensive whole person care. And then we get down to what we call the patient and family oriented care, where providing interpretive services, different care that patients need and interpretation of that, also customer satisfaction, patient satisfaction, and patient and staff bill of rights all come into play. So it's not an overnight process. It takes time. It takes a team dedicated to doing this, and it takes everyone to be on the same page.
Let us take a call. We have Wolfgang and Sunny Valley on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about patient-centered medical homes with David Gilmore and Dr. Shay Johnson.
Good morning.
Hi.
In the beginning, you were talking about that a lot of things have changed and some things have not changed. And what I think has changed is that doctors, from being care people, have become part of a business model. In fact, the largest, one of the largest industries, complexes, Eisenhower might have called them.
And the medical-industrial complex, in a sense?
Yeah, it's the medical-pharmaceutical complex. That's just the facts of it. If you look at the bottom lines, if you look at the pharmaceutical and medical corporations that now have people like your guests talk in fuzzy terms like care and home and team and all of these wonderful words, it's a business model and it is marketing. I mean, to change, that's what people do. I mean, supermarkets get remodeled regularly. So this model of a, quote, provider, which translates into seller. And I'm not saying I want to be in their place because it's really, you're really behind the eight ball in terms of making money, having insurance. It's really not a fun place. But it is, I think it's a disservice to tell the public that we're talking care or that we're talking, I mean, all the fuzzy stuff is not the reality. You go in there and you become part of a system that has nothing to do with you. But the patient and the doctors both are part of a system. They feed into a humongous machinery that needs them and eats more of them as we go on. So it's just as backwards as far as I'm concerned. And I think the public should not be deceived.
Wolfgang, thanks for the comments. Let's get some reactions here. Dr. Shay Johnson, you're the one, you've been providing medical services for a few years now, obviously. How close is it to what Wolfgang's talking about, and how hard do you have to work to make sure that you're thinking about patients as people and not just as numbers you're pushing through?
No, I think this is a challenge. I will say that I think this is part of what happened back when we first initiated this. I think, in general, physicians want to help the patient. That's their principal goal. I don't doubt that at all. Maybe not every physician, but by and large, the majority of physicians are there to help people, and that's why we came into medicine, because it's a difficult road, without a doubt, to come into, or to become a doctor. I think, however, if you step back and look at healthcare currently, I think he has absolute truths there. It is a great, big complex, and that's very impersonal, and I think that's one of the reasons why the patient-centered medical home, or medical home in this case, was initiated to help hopefully take the patient as the center and that the patient is the bottom line. That's where we're trying to get. And unfortunately, we haven't done a very good job of that in our history. But we're working on it, and I think we're seeing great success. As we look at a lot of the pilot projects that are coming, that were initiated back in 2007 and are still running, we're finding that the people who are best benefited by the medical home are those who have so many significant chronic diseases and don't have that access to care. They have multiple problems. They're ending up in the hospital multiple times. And what we're actively trying to do is taking that patient, wrapping that patient around or that team around them. For example, having a nurse, when they come out of the hospital, they call and say, how are you doing? Were you able to get your medicine? And one of the great challenges I've seen as a physician, sometimes they leave with medicine that they can't afford. But the nice thing is the nurse can then say, okay, well, what was the problem? If it was too expensive, for example, and they were unable to purchase it because they weren't covered or their insurance wouldn't pay for it, they can come to me and we can find a better option. So I think what we are trying to do is making sure that we take the care and center it around the patient where maybe in the past it hasn't been so well done.
We were talking about the patient-centered medical home, or the medical home, if you want to just leave it at that, with Sante Physician Partners members Dr. Shay Johnson, who's a DO in practice in Grants Pass. David Gilmore is the practice manager for medical homes for Sante Physician Partners, or APP. We can get stuck in the acronyms pretty easily here today. Let's talk about the medical home and what you think about the concept and whether you've actually been to one and how it's working for you. Let's hear from you here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Shay Johnson, I mean, does it require any change in what happens day to day? I mean, is there anything that changes in the way you visit with your patients, the amount of time you spend with them, anything about just the process of doctoring on a day-to-day basis that changes because of medical home?
I don't think there's a huge amount of change. When we initiated this process, and we, in my personal life as a physician, as we started the process of certifying and going through and seeing what we are already doing, a lot of it we were already doing. The problem is we didn't have good protocols set up or procedures, and we weren't as proactive as we wanted or should have been. A perfect example we have now, my nurse has a list of every one of our diabetic patients in our clinic, a list of everyone, when their last hemoglobin A1C was done, when their last cholesterol test was done. And these are all good measures or outcomes that we try to follow. Now she has a list that she can go down and look and say, when was your last A1C? And if it's been longer than in the past, or if it's been longer than the recommended interval of 6 months, for example, then she's able to call the patient and say, hey, you know, we haven't seen you for a while. Can we get you to come back in? We'll get your hemoglobin A1C, have you visit with a physician and make sure we're not missing anything. So where we weren't as proactive and more reactive in the past, we're trying to be more proactive because that's what's best for the patient.
So, David Gilmore, does this translate to more frequent contact then with the medical home? In other words, rather than silence, 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 boom, the emergency room every, you know, 6 months, 3 months, whatever, they're going to be talking to you or talking to the medical home on a more regular basis?
I would say yes, but it may not always constitute a PCP or provider visit.
PCP again stands for what?
Primary care provider.
Okay.
So as we look at this, there's a term called share the care and also team-based care. So we have, as Dr. Johnson mentioned, we have nurses that we have now hired. We also have medical assistants. We are in the process of piloting behavioral health integration. So a licensed clinical social worker will be part of the team, as well as a pharmacist. And what that really turns into, let me start by saying we've gotten pretty good at being as efficient and as effective as we can be and getting every single patient to the provider as quickly as possible. Well, with medical home, we really will challenge all of our team members to begin to practice at the top of their license. That's an important thing to note there. So we will not have medical assistants, for instance, doing things that are outside their license. But for patient education, for instance, the medical assistants can be trained to provide some patient education. We'll have pharmacists that will be doing medication reconciliation when patients are discharged from the hospital, or our new patients before they see their PCP. A pharmacist to do that. We'll also have that licensed clinical social worker that can provide some resources, whether that's community-based or social work type interventions that will help the patient. Again, the medical home is to have that all there in a location and wrapping the care and services around the patient that they need. So to answer your question, bringing it back around, is certainly there will be more contact, but it always won't be to get that patient as quickly as possible to the provider. It's whatever is indicated, and really having each care team member practicing at the top of their license and the patients understanding who their care team is. Oftentimes, they do know who their doctor is. They do know who their provider is, but do they know their entire care team and what they bring to their life? Lifelong health.
Does this elevate the role of the primary contact person? I mean, the people who are going to be calling these patients, they're going to need to get to know them a little better.
Absolutely. So, you know, by enrolling patients to a care team, that's the expectation, and that not just the provider and the patient get to know each other, but every member of the care team know their patients, the Sallys, the Johns, the go-by names, if you will, and not where we're currently at with a reactive healthcare setting to where you may not see the same care team or provider every visit. We're really working towards building that continuity of care and seeing your care team led by a provider in that care team for every visit.
And Dr. Shea Johnson, you want to throw something in?
In addition to that, I think one of the best ways that our patients can get to know each and every one of their care team is with those transitions of care, whether they're coming from the ER or if they have a question and they need some help, being able to get as many touches, not just the physician themselves or the MA or the nurse, but having a pharmacist who can help with medical or medicine questions. As we are more proactive in contacting them instead of them contacting us, I think that's a very personal touch, and people, I think, really like that, and our feedback has been that. You know, that Cassie, my nurse, she is so good because she's, you know, calling me and letting me know and what I need to be doing next, and I think that's one of the great touches of the medical home is we're proactively contacting them and getting to know them, and in turn, they're getting to know us.
Let us take a call. We have Heidi in Medford on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the patient-centered medical home or medical home with Dr. Shea Johnson and David Gilmore.
Hi, this is Heidi. I wanted to tell you that I totally agree with Wolfgang. All this is going to do is, as kind as it sounds, is going to add one more level in between the whole medical system. It used to be that the primary care physician used to be called a family doctor, and he was the one that coordinated all these things and knew every member in your family, your children, your husband, the wife, grandmother. And now we need a whole new team when basically a medical advocate would be just fine for people that no longer can really take care of the humongousness of the whole medical system.
All right. Thanks for the comments, Heidi. Appreciate that. Everybody's looking at Dr. Shea Johnson.
Indeed. And I think that this has been the challenge that we have to overcome. And again, the view that, or I guess it's the perception of the community of healthcare. And it's obviously going to be our challenge to help them to see that this is not becoming a new barrier, but this is hopefully going to open more doors to provide them the access that they need. I think one of the greatest difficulties that we face in the healthcare establishment is providing the access to our patients. It's a great challenge, and we would love to see every single one of our patients. In the old days, I still remember my family physician, and I, thankfully, I do call myself a family physician. I remember I would go in, and he was the family physician for my mother and myself and my siblings. We still do that. But indeed, because healthcare has been for so long seen as a business, this is going to be a great challenge. So I welcome the challenge because I think we're going to succeed and patients are going to gain a new perception for what we are trying to do. And so instead of trying to bring them to a big establishment, we're trying to bring healthcare to them. And I think that's where we're going to succeed.
Kathy in Grants Pass sent in an email. She says, these are lovely ideas, but I live in Grants Pass, and I cannot find a doctor willing to take a new Medicare patient. I'm driving all the way to Ashland, which is not the best way to be served. So let's talk about how we roll Medicare and Medicaid patients into medical home. Are they all part of it, David Gilmore?
They are. So we have commercial payer patients. We have Medicare, Medicaid patients. We do not discriminate against the type of payer the patients are present with. We do have – our clinic is not closed. We are accepting new patients in Grants Pass. We are also adding new providers in the fall. We have two physicians coming in September, another one coming in November. So I would encourage you to give our office a call at 472-7884 in Grants Pass, and we'll work to assign you to a provider and meet your healthcare needs.
So you are taking new Medicare patients at this time?
Yep.
541-472-7884. We'll come back and talk more with David Gilmore and Dr. Shea Johnson from Asante Physician Partners about the medical home concept. Keep those calls and emails coming. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Johnson, Mr. Gilmore, and you in a minute 25. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our topic today is medicine, and specifically the concept of the patient-centered medical home, PCMH, or medical home, as we prefer to call it here. This is a concept of sort of like homeroom, I think you might think of it in high school. It's a place to come back to get all the stuff you need provided from one source, or at least to get directed there from one source. It is already in practice in parts of Oregon. Asante Physician Partners in Southern Oregon is in the process of getting its offices certified in both Grants Pass and Medford. Dr. Shea Johnson is a DO in practice at the Grants Pass office. David Gilmore is the practice manager for medical homes for all of Asante Physician Partners. And you can join us on the exchange with your questions and comments, 800-838-3760 around the region, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. We've had a couple of calls now that sort of criticize the general, not sterility, but let's say disconnectedness of medicine from the human condition, in the sense that it feels like a factory to some people who are trying to navigate the system. In the process of getting the work done, though, through the medical home, I can see that there would be potentially some disincentives for medical providers here, because whereas before, if you saw a person in the practice, you could charge a certain level amount. If you're just making a phone call contact from the office and saying, oh, did you take your medicine? Is everything okay? You're going to end up either charging nothing or very little anyway by comparison. So there, I can see some financial disincentives in the medical business to go into the medical home model. How do you work around those, David Gilmore?
Well, I would tell you that so as we look at our patient population, we have really three distinct groups of patients. We have those that are really low risk, pretty much healthy patients. We have those that are rising risk that maybe have one disease burden, and then we have the really high risk patients that are have complex healthcare needs. And as we look at the medical home, we certainly want to, with our complex patients, those that have more than one disease burden as such, that they have their time with their providers. And certainly the rising risk, we want to be able to manage those patients and work with them to really get their, for instance, their diabetes under control. And so they have time with their provider. Now, the healthy patients, they may not require as much time or energy by the provider, but we have that other healthcare team members that are there to help them with their prevention, the annual flu shot, their annual health risk assessment. And when something looks like it's out of normal range, of course, that communication to the provider and a provider making that decision, I need to get this patient in, or this is what we need to do for them. So through that, what we're really trying to do is the patients that need to see their provider, their PCP, have the time, have the access to get in and see them. And those that don't, maybe it's not as frequent. Maybe it's an annual visit, and saving really our appointments for those patients that do have a higher need to see their provider, and some that are two to three to even more than four visits a year that we can provide that access.
So it is an allocation of resources in the sense that you make sure that the people who have the greatest need are the ones who are going to get the greatest access.
Right. I would bring it down to the right care by the right health professional at the right time.
Which then again involves, I mean, did we already talk about the fact you probably need to hire more people to be able to do all this?
And we are doing that. There's a care team model that we're working through. And if I can, the care team model that we're beginning to solidify with is two physicians, a provider extender, either a nurse practitioner or a PA, three medical assistants that are clinical MAs, rooming MAs that work side by side with their provider. We call that a teamlet. There's they work directly with a provider. We have half of a pharmacist, half of behavioral health, licensed clinical social worker for each team, and an additional medical assistant that works the admin piece. So the patients that need to get in, they're able to field those calls. They're able to talk with their providers and to be able to manage that proactively and to be able to get back to the patients in a timely manner. And additionally, a patient navigator that's able to bring those diabetics in based on the time frame that the providers indicate they need to see them. So it's about that healthcare team and really supporting our patients and our providers.
I was going to ask you if you had patient navigators. You do then, people who kind of help find the services that a patient needs.
That's where we're headed, absolutely.
And one of the things, part of healthcare cost is related to, I mean, one of the goals is healthcare savings. And those people who who need to be seen will be seen. But we're now seeing, I mean, the writing is very much on the wall that the volume-based system that we've used for so long isn't sustainable. And again, this is part of what we're trying to do is make that transition from a volume-based system to a value-based system. So again, those who really need the care, we get to. Those who don't, it's okay if we don't have to bill for a visit. If it's the right thing for the patient, that's what we're going to do. And ultimately, that will be a savings down the road for the patients and for us.
Let us take another call. We have Christine and Eureka on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Shay Johnson and David Gilmore.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment. I've been a self-insured individual by choice for about the last 15 years, trying to live my life as much holistically as I can, have raised four children on that way. And a town I lived in had a walk-in clinic that when I first needed to come to them due to my young daughter needing stitches, impressed me so much by the perspective that the doctors took, to the point that I chose to use this walk-in clinic as my primary care for about 12 years. What I so appreciated about it was that just about everything they could do in-house. They knew I was a cash pain patient. They gave me fair rates. If I were in a situation where maybe I needed some type of medication for one of my children, if they were able to, they could give that to me from there. They did x-rays in-house, and the doctors were always took the time to really listen to me and my own needs and my own perspective on treating my family. And I just appreciate that. This, what you're talking about this morning, sounds like a lovely concept, but it also sounds very complicated to me. And, you know, going back to that family physician, I really hope that medical care can move more that direction where a person can choose and walk in or call in and get as much reasonable care as they can under one roof. So I just wanted to share my experiences with you on that.
All right. Thanks very much for sharing that, Christine. It's very good to hear. Which raises the question, David Gilmore, as you're organizing this, that the complication needs to happen, I guess, behind the scenes. You're trying to make this as much like the walk-in clinic that Christine is talking about as possible, aren't you?
Absolutely. So it's about simplifying and demystifying our clinics and the access to care for our patients. Typically, we'll have three categories of access. We'll have same-day access or acute needs, and those are things that are one chief complaint that you need to get in and see your healthcare team, your provider, within a 24-hour period. We also have established visits that are for patients who have established with a provider, and there's a certain interval that they're coming in and being seen, whether they have diabetes or it's just an annual exam. And then finally, we have our new patient visits that are set aside for our new patients that are desiring to join the practice. And our goal with access to care, it's not a destination, it's a journey that we have to continue to work on, and daily communication and understanding where we're at for the day, for the week, and managing the need for care and talking with our healthcare teams led by our physicians and providers is key to that access.
Shay Johnson, Dr. Shay Johnson, since the concept was first begun to be put into practice about 7 years ago, then have there been some tweaks that have occurred in places, other places that have gone to the medical home concept? Yeah. Things that have been discovered that maybe didn't work as well, or like, hey, this works really well, let's do more of this.
Yeah, I think as with anything, there's probably reform within this reform itself. I still remember when I first initiated the process with Siskiyou Community Health Center in Grants Pass and Cave Junction to the same organization that we're certifying with now. Since we initiated the process a couple years ago, some of the requirements have changed again. And so with Oregon being kind of at the top of the list in trying to deliver patient-centered medical home and trying to really tweak and find the things that are going to be the greatest value, we're seeing those changes right now. One of the greatest things about the medical home now is trying to get behavioral health care into the primary care.
Nobody calls it mental health care, I notice,
no,
anymore.
We don't.
It's behavioral, okay.
But moving that into the same place, so there's no stigma of going to your psychiatrist or your nurse practitioner, psychiatric nurse practitioner, or even your social worker. You come into your doctor's office, and that's where you're going to see your behavioral health provider too. And that's been – mental health is probably one of the greatest challenges too that we're seeing in healthcare now. If we can get that back into your home or in your walk-in clinic in this case and get the care – deliver there, then I think you're going to be better off as well.
You can forgive a few people for having their heads spin as we get further into the discussion of the things that happen within the medical home concept, because they sound similar, particularly when you talk about including behavioral health, mental health in the process, to coordinated care organizations or CCOs. So is a CEO a medical home? Is a medical home not a CCO? I mean, where do these overlap and where do they differ?
CCOs tend to be more in the payer realm. So there are insurance companies or managed care organizations that have in the past delivered more of the traditional managed care system. Now they have, through similar pressures and similar outcomes in the past, have tried to change the way that they're delivering that. And so I think it's kind of a parallel reform. And so now these coordinated care or accountable care organizations are trying to be more accountable for these outcomes, trying to reduce healthcare costs, and as well trying to deliver the care to the patient who really needs it.
And so the CCOs in Oregon, the coordinated care organizations, generally the ones dealing with the Oregon Health Plan patients, is that right?
In general.
In general, okay, which is the Medicaid, the version of Medicaid yes. in Oregon is Oregon Health Plan. It's Medi-Cal in California for our California listeners,
right.
Just like we have to keep track of what food stamps are called in each state. CalFresh in Oregon and Oregon Trail in Oregon. Different subject altogether. You talked about certifying David Gilmore, getting the medical homes certified by the state of Oregon. What does the process involve and who does the certification?
So the certification really starts when you decide to pursue a medical home through the state. And one of our journey, it's maybe easier if I put it in context of our journey, and it's a point that I wanted to make, is our clinics are physician-led. So it kind of goes back to a couple of our callers that asked about where the physician comes into play in this. Both of our clinics are physician-led, so we stood up a medical home working group that oversaw our journey. So where we started with was really a kickoff in each clinic where we looked at the current state of the practice and using some lean principles of how the care is delivered today. And we also pulled in some data, what our patients are saying about us, so we had some feedback. We also looked at access. We looked at a number of measures, and then we compared them to the Oregon Health Authority's program, and we are actually able to complete a self-assessment. Gave us an idea where we are doing things that met patient and certification needs, but also identify, more importantly, where our gaps were, areas that we needed to focus on to improve in order to meet patient needs, and ultimately certification. So we started this back in October, and just this last month, in May, we submitted our package to the Oregon Health Authority, and we're expecting word any day now on our certification. But what that really looks like is building policies and procedures to meet patient needs and certification criteria, training to those. Again, the entire care team is trained on certain principles and practices in a medical home. And then we go about measuring those. We assess how well we're doing that, and additional coaching and mentoring, and just making sure that we have standard work, that everyone's doing things the same way with respect to given tasks. So it's not easy. It requires a commitment, but I will tell you that Asante Physician Partners and our physician leaders, of which Dr. Johnson is one of them, have made a total commitment to this, and we're well on our way, and we look forward to our additional clinics down the road.
If the certification comes, how long does it last? And I mean, I assume it's reviewed at the end of some period.
It's a 2-year certification. And then, so it would renew at the end of the 2-year period. And there are 3 levels of certification. There's a tier 1 through 3, and it's based on your aggregate score, which obviously we don't have time to get into today. But a tier 3 would require a raw score of 130 points or more. And both of our clinics have hit that tier 3 under our package certification, and all of the 10 must-pass criteria have been met. So we're confident that we'll have tier 3 certifications for both of our practices.
Okay. Almost out of time, how much does technology help the process of creating medical homes in the sense of making medical records available across multiple practices?
This is probably the main tenet of the healthcare system, or the healthcare reform of patient-centered medical home. Ultimately, it's probably the crux of the matter. I'm able to follow what's happening in the hospital. They can see what I'm doing. And then patients are able to access that record as well and see what their problems are, their medications, and making sure that they're fully informed and involved in their care. So it's probably one of the main tenets that we're seeing now.
All right. But the idea is that a person is able to call one place and get access to all their healthcare needs.
Indeed.
That is the Patient-Centered Medical Home. Dr. Shay Johnson is a DO in practice in Grants Pass. David Gilmore is the practice manager for medical homes across Asante Physician Partners. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.